WPGC, Good Guys Radio. It's the Dean Griffith Show.
It's hard to believe, but 15 years has gone by since the Beatles began the British invasion of America.
Last night I said these words to my girl. She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves you, yeah, 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 yeah.
The Beatles landed in Washington 15 years ago this week and established a beachhead that ultimately took us all on a magical mystery tour. It was a new revolution.
You say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world.
WPGC celebrates this week's anniversary of the invasion of 64 this weekend with Beatlemania LPs, tickets, and t-shirts. Lots of Beatles music and two grand prizes consisting of complete Beatle catalogs. The Beatles Weekend in stereo, exclusively on WPGC.
It's great being here in New York. Okay. Oh, is that the place? I don't know, Washington. I'm just moving so fast.
This next song that we'd like to sing, before we do it, we'd like to thank everybody here in America, Washington, America, for. We'd like to thank everybody for buying this particular record and starting this thing off in America and giving us the chance to come here and see you all in Washington.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time on the air in the United States, here are the Beatles singing I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Which is no longer there. It's the arena only held about 7,000 people, and at that time everybody WWDC was a big cut at that time, and we were always in competition with WWDC. WEEM was competition, but not in terms of promotion because they had no live bodies. So it was us and WWDC. And we were vying for a spot on the stage. And so Carol James and I were going to MC the show. Carol James was one of the disc jockeys at WWDC at the time. And so the show was held at the Washington Arena, and they brought it in two sections. It only held 7,000 people. I don't know how they pulled this thing off. And that was the first Beatles appearance in the United States. This was before Ed Sullivan. And either a night or two nights before, I think it was a Friday night, I'm not sure. But it held 7,000 people, and they had it in two sections. They had one section with people like the Righteous Brothers, Jay and the Americans, the Rondells, and a whole group of acts like that. And then the second half, the Beatles were going to come out. And I'm trying to recall exactly what happened. So now we're up on stage, and at that time, Ringo Starr said that he really loved jelly beans. So now all these kids are throwing jelly beans up at the stage. And when you get hit with jelly beans from 300 yards out, it really stings, yeah. So now, I think Jay and the Americans opened it up. Yeah, Jay and the Americans opened it up, and they did a couple of songs. Each group was to do two songs. And then, I think the Rondells were next. And they did one song, they did Be My Baby, and then the crowd really started getting restless. Now, also, to help them get restless, Brian Epstein was really a genius when it came to building up a promotional stunt even more than it was, and it was already a big deal. But he had Pinkerton guards. They weren't DC police. They were Pinkerton guards who were, they were the ones who were really taking care of the crowd. And so he had them run to different parts of the Washington Arena, pre-planned, as if this is the entrance where the Beatles are going to come in. And so every time, you know, two or three of these guards would run to one particular location, the crowd just went absolutely, you know, ballistic. And so that happened. That started happening with Jay and the Americans, and then it continued with the Ronettes. Now the Righteous Brothers come out, and the Righteous Brothers are doing one of their songs. And maybe Unchained Melody, whatever it was, I forget. And then now they're really restless. They're throwing chili beans, and they're chanting, "We want the Beatles. We want the Beatles." So I run off stage. I go backstage, and I tell Brian Epstein, I said, "Hey, Brian, you better get them out there right now. Cancel the rest of the show. Get the Beatles out there now. Otherwise, you're going to have a major riot on your hands." You know? So he looked out, and he saw what was going on, and he said, "You're right. Let's go, boys." And he got the Beatles dressed in a hurry. And I had to run out, and, you know, I don't even recall hearing anything, and I just said, "Ladies and gentlemen, whatever, here are the Beatles." And then they came out, and that's how the whole thing. The rest of the acts were canceled. I don't even remember who the other acts were, but they were canceled. They never did it.
In case you don't know who this is, that's Ringo Starr.
boy. I said, just come in and change.
Thank you, babe.
Hi, babe. What's happening?
Everything's happening. You're what's happening. Boy, the crowd is tremendous.
And it sounds loud.
Doesn't it sound loud? You should have heard him, boy. At first when they said, but first we're going to go on with the show, they were booing because all they wanted to do was see you, but they did a great job.
Yeah.
And you got a great compliment stage here at the beginning of the show, Tommy Rowe.
Yeah.
And he's so happy to see such great guys get so successful.
Yeah, well, Tommy's a good friend of ours. So we did a tour in England. He's a great performer.
The next song is one which was also on an album over here. And the song, we hope you like it.
Hello!
Hope you like it.
Hello.
It's called All My Loving.
Yeah.
Close your eyes.
Backstage interviewing the Beatles. They were taking their shirts off. They had their shirts off. They were just standing around in their t-shirts. And so I interviewed them. We were talking with them and so forth. Put them all on tape. And then I gave them the WPGC Goodyear switchers. I said, "You want to take a picture with us?" So they said, "Yeah, take a picture." So George Harrison and John Lennon put the t-shirts on. And I said, "Okay, thanks very much. Take the pictures." Now, George Harrison is taking the t-shirt off to give it back to me.
Wow.
This was now how naive they are. Uh-huh. This is their first appearance in the United States. And I say to George Harrison, "No, they're yours. I wouldn't ask you to take a picture and then take the t-shirt back from me." And George Harrison says, "Really? They're ours?" You know, and John Lennon made some kind of a comment like, "Oh, this is the beginning, just the beginning, George," or something like that. And that's, so now, for the next week, and in fact, that's how I ended up getting the job in New York. For the next week, they're running around, and they're on vacation after Ed Sullivan. They go down to the Bahamas, and I've got like a zillion pictures of them wearing these WPGC Good Guy sweatshirts. So now Ruth Meyer, who's the program director of WMCA at the time, she calls me up and she said, "How did you get the picture of the Beatles wearing the sweatshirts?" Because now by this time, they're really hip to what's going on. So I said, I asked them, and I told them the story. She says, "Come up and talk to me." And that's how I ended up going to work for WMCA.
You back again. That boy isn't good for you.
back in 1964. Of course, the Beatles came to Washington Coliseum, and we showed up with our WPGC Good Guys sweatshirts, and we gave all the Beatles a shirt, and they put them on. We took pictures of them, and one of the great classic pictures was John Lennon on the back of a boat on a bubblegum card wearing one of our sweatshirts. So the next year, 1965, they're coming back to Washington Coliseum. This time, I said, I'm going to get a picture of them with the WPGC sweatshirt and me, you know, standing next to George Harrison. So I walked up to George Harrison. I said, welcome back to Washington. I'd like you to have one of these. He says, oh, very nice. And he pushed it away. By that time, the promoters had gotten to him and said, look, don't endorse anything, you know. So
you remember that snowy night when they came? Remember
yes,
how, what a blizzard that
yeah,
was, huh? Was
slippery
they,
roads.
They came, and, in,
yeah.
they came in to Union Station because they couldn't fly into D.C.
Yeah.
that night. Yeah, it was something else.
You and the snow came to Washington at the same time today. Which do you think will have the greater impact?
The snow
will
last longer.
Oh, will the snow last longer?
Yeah, we're
well,
going tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's
one
right,
final
yeah.
question. Have you ever heard of Walter Cronkite?
No.
Yeah.
Good old Walter.
Men.
NBC News, isn't he?
Thank you very much.
We know him.
Thanks, boss.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, don't catch me.
CBS
News. CBS News.
You just queered yourself now.
Well, he's CBS. I know, but I didn't want to say it because I thought it was CBS.
Well, I didn't want to
say it. I know. That's why I didn't say
which one?
The word we're doing
just a minute.
The word doing ABC.
Yeah.
The other
CBS.
Well, CBS and the other
one's
NBC.
This is NBC here, believe it or not.
Oh,
and you're Walter.
Yeah,
we're...
I'm
on
a 10, baby!
Who writes most of the songs?
Well, John and I write most of the records that we recorded. And Brian Somerville does all the lyrics. He's a beautiful lyricist. Listen to him now. Go on, Brian. He's fantastic. No, it just comes and goes, you know. It's...
What do you like or dislike about America?
We like it all.
We like, yeah, we haven't any dislikes yet.
Dislike the snow. I don't. I love the snow. I do. I love
it's
the
John
snow.
Lennon.
Clips John Lennon.
Can you explain why all the records have been released close together rather than one and then another
because,
one a couple of months later?
The first records were released and, you know, I don't know whether they got played or not, you know, but, you know, the company didn't sort of push them. But when Capitol got hold of I Want to Hold Your Hand, they saw they were onto a good thing in England, you know. England was going well, they thought, why not? So they gave it a big push. And as soon as that hit it, well, obviously, the other record companies that had our records and that sort of weren't even playing them got them out the vaults and started pushing them like mad.
Well,
and that's why they've all come up together, you know.
I see. I think you're recording. You have records on about 5 different labels right now. This is the reason why, then?
Yeah, but from now on, they'll all be on the one label and level out.
1, 2, 3, go! Leave me when I say, she stole my love and
What is your impression of the new American singing group, the Cockroaches? Have you heard them yet?
I haven't heard them, but it's already been done about 80 times in England. Sorry, Cockroaches.
One more time, yeah. She's the one.
In 1965, Bobby Poe had an idea for a record. We were going to take excerpts of Beatle records and use it to put together like one of those Buchanan and Goodman type interview records. And so we put out this interview of the Fab Four. It was on American Arts Records, which was a subsidiary of World Artists. And they were hot at the time with Chad and Jeremy. We put this record out, interview of the Fab Four, and got a lot of national airplay. Well, we got a cease and desist order from Brian Epstein and said, you can't do that anymore. But when we were making this thing, where they said, well, you have to have a B-side to this. What are you going to do? So Vernon Sandusky says, could you sing a song? I said, what a song? He says, I don't know. He says, you write something. So I sat down and I wrote this song called I Feel So Fine in like 20 minutes. The Chartbusters backed me up. We did it in one take, and that was the B-side of the record.
I feel so fine. I feel so fine. We'll get real low now. We'll get real low now. We'll get real low now. We'll take it slow now. Get real low now, take it slow now. Get real low now, get real low now. Get real low now, get real low now.
Shout a little bit louder now. Shout a little bit louder now. Shout a little bit louder now. Shout a little bit louder now. Shout a little bit louder now. Shout a little bit louder now. Shout a little bit louder now.
Hello there, this is Harv Moore speaking to you from London Airport, where we are awaiting the arrival of the Fab Four. The plane has just landed, and in a moment we will have an exclusive interview. An interesting thing to note is... Uh-oh, here they come now! Ringo! Ringo! We'd like to ask you a couple of questions. We know that you got married recently. Can you recall the first time you met her? What were your very first words?
I wanna hold your hand.
Well, what did she have to say about that?
Honey, don't.
Well, Ringo, how do you like married life?
I should have known better.
Here comes Paul. Paul, I understand that wherever you go, your many, many fans mob you. How do you feel about this?
I feel fine.
Well, we hear that you may be the next to be married.
That's a lie.
Well, Paul, I understand that the girls have a pet name for you. Would you mind telling us what that name is?
Mr. Moonlight.
Let me see if I can get through the crowd to talk to John. John, you're the writing member of the group. Have you been working hard on your latest book?
I've been working like a dog.
Well, is writing books very profitable?
I'm a loser.
Well, what's the title of your latest book?
I'm a loser.
Last but not least, we'd like to talk to George. George, I hear you're the shy one of the group. What's your answer to this?
No reply.
I hear that you've been secretly dating a beautiful girl. Could you tell us her name?
Come on, Sally!
Well, where did you meet Sally?
Kansas City!
Fellas, thank you very much for taking time to talk with me. I want to ask you one last question. Are you looking forward to coming back to the United States?
Yeah!